Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of 1 Samuel chapter 20, we were taught that our fellowship with other Christians is based on being right with God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Blooms.
Jonathan can see David's heart is such that although Jonathan does not know the details, he knows that it's either true or he believes that David 100% believes that it's true. Again, back in John 13, 34 and 35 that we mentioned earlier, to love one another as I have loved you. Okay, this is how Christ loved us. And now Jonathan is showing that love. This is the love he wants you to have for the brothers and sisters in your church, for each other. And by the way, let me say this. He wants this love in your home. David, if he has iniquity, sin, or wrong that he's done, he wants to know what it is, and he's willing to take the punishment for it. In verse 8, he says, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself. Why shouldst thou bring me to thy father? You know, David seems to be pretty honest about that. So he's saying, look, if there's something wrong, let me know what it is. To be the right kind of a friend, you must be willing to build on this ground of holiness. Remember 1 John 1:3? That fellowship is based on being right with God, walking in light, and having fellowship one with another. You have fellowship with God. And somebody's going to walk in darkness? You don't have fellowship with them because the grounds of fellowship have been removed. The compromise. Never compromise anything of God or of His Word. There is not one thing. Now you get this down, write it down, mark this down well. There is not one doctrine. There is not one truth in God's Word that is unimportant and therefore can be compromised. No, not one. Jonathan is a godly friend, and he is approachable. Can your friend approach you if there's sin and error against you or someone in your family? We ought to build honor into our word, such that your children will know that your word is good, that your mate will know your word is good, that all about you will know that your word is good. And they'll know that your word is righteous and holy, although it may not be what they want to hear. Are you the kind of friend you're supposed to be to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you loving as Christ loved? Or do you find that you're developing a critical spirit? Maybe in the home, maybe at church. Do you have a close friend? Do you give him or her this love that is approachable, that is holy, that does not compromise scriptures, that is always ready to help them. Can somebody approach you about sin and know that you will try to help them to the paths of righteousness? If not, then we need to do some introspection in our personal life. Now, these first four verses of the chapter relate how David fled from Saul in Ramah and found Jonathan, and he asked why Saul is trying to kill him. Now again, Jonathan doesn't believe that his dad is trying to kill David. And they had reached an agreement in chapter 19 that his dad would not do that. Gave a solemn word not to kill David. But then Jonathan's recognizing here, well, David believes that my dad's trying to kill him. And so he tells him here in this fourth verse, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I'll do it, even for thee. In other words, whatever it takes to find out my dad's intentions, we'll do it. Now, he may be thinking that, no, that's not my dad's thought. Therefore, I'm going to do this to help you to see that. Now, David has a plan, or there's a plan here, should I say, that will be developed, and it'll actually be Jonathan's plan. But let's look at this plan in verses 5 through 8. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon. I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third day at even. And if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city. For there's a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. He say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace. But if he be very wroth. Now, isn't it interesting, doesn't just say, well, if your dad gets a little upset or he's a little mad. No, it says if he's very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Now David says, listen, we've given our word. Our word should be our bond. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, slay me thyself, for why shouldst thou bring me to thy father? Now, David is not asking Jonathan to rebel against his father, nor to believe what David is saying is true without the proof of it. Now, you might be a teenager out there listening today. Your life will take on more lifelong regrets and despair if you begin listening to accusations that have no proof behind them. If you begin listening to things to which you should not listen, you listen to music that encourages rebellion against your parents. By the way, parents, it is utterly, and you're going to have to forgive me of this word, but it is utterly stupid to allow it in your home, to allow that kind of music in your home, even if you say, but they're in their bedroom, they have the music turned down. It's not the loudness that's the sin. It's the music itself, as well as the words of the music. Now, don't listen to another teenager that encourages disobedience to do things wrong that you know is wrong. Don't listen to another adult that runs down your parents' rules or their authority, be it at a school, the church, or the neighborhood. And by the way, watch how a person treats their parents. Young people, now this is to you. If you see that they are rebellious and talk back and they run them down behind their back, that's not the kind of husband you want. That is not the kind of wife you want. They'll eventually do it to you. And probably as I say this, there are those in our listening audience that are saying amen on the inside because they've lived that. Jonathan did not automatically believe what David said about Saul. But the seriousness of the charge was such that he was willing to allow it to be proven. I like this because how often do Christians automatically believe what they hear about brethren? We judge them without trial or proof. It must be true because the law made this statement. I'm reading a blog against a pastor that others were writing, saying about his immorality and everything else. If the things were true, this guy would be in prison, if not under the prison. Not one of the things were provable. As a matter of fact, the proof went in the opposite direction because when all these things were supposedly happening, the guy was somewhere else with his wife. But you see, I read blogs and other things where people writing that all this is true because they just automatically assumed that it was true without proof. Never be willing to receive accusation without proof. In 1 Timothy 5:19, it says, against an elder, speaking of a pastor, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Now, witnesses are people who were there and saw it. Not people who have an opinion, not people who have hearsay. Now, every once in a while, I will get an unsigned letter. It'll be about a sermon I've preached, something I wrote in the bulletin, a decision I've made. And it is usually very harsh, very stinging, and makes some of your newspaper editorialists look like lambs in comparison. But you know what I'll do? I will usually show it to some of my staff, and we'll just laugh, and then we'll throw it away. We just see it as an attempt by the devil to a deceived Christian. Somebody won't sign their name to it, evidently. It's not a conviction with them and something for which they're willing to stand. They just want to get me told. Well, my friend, let me just say that. Don't receive the accusations without proof. Now, remember, David's testimony in the past gave Jonathan the wisdom to at least examine the situation to see if these things are true. Let me just read on from verse 9 through verse 17, then we'll come back and look at things. And Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? Then said David to Jonathan, who shall tell me? Or what if thy father answereth thee roughly?
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.